Okay, well, I'm going to say welcome to those of you that are watching right now through the internet. This is very, there's a weird feeling right now having the basically empty church. But thanks to technology, right, that we can still worship our Lord together. So thank you for being here with us, not physically here, right, but virtually here. And I also want to thank our technology people for being here and making this online service program possible. What's going on in the world? We all know what's going on. And probably 1 week ago, we didn't thought, you know, this is going to be the situation that is going on right now. It was last Sabbath that we still had our service here and also in my Exeter church. But, you know, things happen very quickly. Things change by the hour. And this is a special time. This is a special moment. And we need to go to God, because he is the only source of hope and strength. He is our salvation. My title this morning is Nothing to Fear. There's nothing to fear. Like I said before, the entire world, many people, is in a crisis mode. So what is the crisis mode? I'm gonna show you some definitions of a crisis. We live in time of crisis. I don't know if you can see. Maybe you can change. There you go. Thank you. I lost my remote as usual. Probably it's in the back, sitting somewhere over there. Okay. Yes, I did, but apparently it walked away. All right. So if you can please click. For me, there you go. Next one. What's a crisis? A crisis is a crucial stage of turning point in the course of something, okay, in a sequence of events or a disease. So it's a turning point. And I think this is a turning point for us as Christians, and also for us as a humankind. Many people is talking about a new, as a result of this crisis, a new world order will be established. A lot of people is talking about that. We don't know, but definitely this is a crisis for us, for humankind. Number two, an unstable period. One of extreme trouble or danger in politics and economics. So look at this, unstable. Thank you. Thank you very much. So there's a lot of instability right now in our world, especially when you talk about our economic system in the world. People is panicking. And you start seeing things that you thought you never seen in your life, but it's happening right now. But like I said before, we need to go to God, especially in these difficult times in humankind history. So I've been thinking about this crisis, and I have some point for reflection that I want to share with you. So we're going to use our Bible a lot. So if you have it in your phone, your computer, or you have it with you, please, I invite you to grab it, because we're going to be using it a lot. So the first reflection that I have on this crisis is, let's see right here. Number one, how fragile is our world? Our world is so fragile, right? I mean, I was thinking the other day, with all this panic, all this pandemic, and the health system being so stressed, and a lot of pressure are now on our health system in every country. What if a catastrophe catastrophe will happen in the midst of this crisis. Will be devastated. The world will be, you know, collapsing rapidly. So let's go to the book of James, chapter 4, and see what the Bible tells us about our world. People trust in many different things, but not in God many times. So James 4, 13, 14. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such city. Spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. So James talking to those people that, you know, just make plans and they only think about, you know, making profits, and they only think about money, and their assurance is on the financial resources. Look what he said to them. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? Very interesting question. What is life? Life is so fragile. Today we're here, tomorrow we don't know. So I think God is allowing this to happen to send a message to humankind that we know that we are so fragile, we're nothing, basically, right? Regardless how wealthy you are, regardless how intelligent you are, regardless the knowledge that you might have, we're nothing, we're so fragile. What is life after all? Okay? So, let's keep reading, verse 14. It is even a vapor. So life is vapor. Other versions say it's a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How quickly this world may collapse. Very, very soon. So let's think about this, brothers and sisters that are watching. Think about this. Think about your life. Take advantage of this time that we have to be, we spend more time at home now to reflect about our lives. To reflect on what are we doing with our families? What are we doing in regards to our relationship with God? I think this is a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of it. Spend more time reading the scriptures. Spend more time with family. Spend more time with things that really are important for us. I don't know about you, but when all these things start happening, I start prioritizing and say, what is more important in life for me? It is God and my family. So think about it. So what's another point for reflection on this crisis? Humankind pride. This is a great world, right? With big advances in terms of technology, in terms of knowledge, science. And we, many times as humankind, we feel a pride about it. We brag about it. But look what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. So let's turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel now. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. So God allows this to happen so he can humble us. Just the way it happens to King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. Are you with me? Okay. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28 and on. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of the 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace in Babylon. The king spoke, saying, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for a royal dwelling in my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty?" So he was proud. He has this pride, this vanity. We are so selfish. We are so proud that we forget about God. And by allowing this type of crisis, God is showing humankind again that we are nothing, that we should humble ourselves. Look what happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he turned into a beast. All this pride was nothing. So God has to humble him. And when we see how this virus is spreading over the world and how many people is dying, we can see that we have no control. That, you know, even, you know, there's huge advances and huge progress in terms of science and medicine and all knowledge. This tiny thing, virus, can cause so much damage without us being able to control it. So we need to think about that. What are the things that you trust on? It is your knowledge. It is your power. It is your wealth. And we need to humble ourselves. It is time for us to humble ourselves today and say, "God, my life is in your hand. It's not what I have. Nothing can save me from the virus, from the threat, if God is not with me." So my invitation for you this morning is to humble yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to take away your ego, my ego. Put it aside and just start learning to depend on God 100%. So what is the following reflection that I want to present to you this morning? Trust in God and mental health. I heard a pastor many years ago saying, you know, we know we're going to live, we live in the end of times, end of times. Mental health is crucial for us to go through this time of crisis, in any crisis. Because horrible events are to happen in the world, even worse than this one that is going on right now. So we have to have a strong mind in God. And we had God's promises that we will have protection from him. So I think that's very important for us to understand. We as Christians have a huge advantage compared to those who don't have any faith, any trust. Because we know that God is faithful and he is our refuge. He is our strength. Those who don't know a God, those who don't believe, they're easily confused. They're easily anxious because they don't have nobody to go to. So, this is time, since you and I have more time, to think about God's promises. Just do some research on the Bible, go online, ask God's promises. And Memorize them. Put it in your mind. So whenever you're anxious, whenever you're stressed, go to those promises. But the most important thing, not only memorize them, but make it real in your life. You'll see you're going to find peace. Your mind's going to be in peace. Yes, of course, we have stress. I mean, we don't live in another world. We live in this world, and the threat is real. But also, God is real. And God is a mighty God. And for Him, there's nothing impossible. So think about this. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, verse 43. Now, there's a lot of things that we can say about mental health and faith and in times of crisis. One is the way we think. What is our belief system? What do we believe? And we as Christians, we believe in God. And we believe not in a false God. We believe in a real God. He is real. He is in our life. And the most important thing, He loves you. And He loves me all the time. Make God real in your life. Isaiah 43, I love this passage in the Bible because it gives me peace of mind, and I hope it gives you peace of mind as well. But now, thus say the Lord, who created you? Amen? So, think about these words. God is your creator. Therefore, He loves you, and therefore, He'll protect you. Okay? O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, and then this word, fear not. Amen? Fear not. Fear not. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. So you are God's belonging. You and I belong to God. And that's great. Because we know that He's real and He will take care of us. And even though He, according to His will not take care of you in terms of you had to go through this. You had to go through this illness. And God forbid, but you have to die. We still are in peace. Because we know that we just in this world temporarily. We know that there is heaven. We know that there is hope. That this is not the end of things. This world is not our final destination. And this is something that we need to believe in times of crisis in order for us to be in peace, peace of mind. If I have to die, whether for this virus or an accident, whatever, I'm okay. I'm okay because, you know, I believe in God and I believe in heaven. So trust God. Trusting God will give you mental health. Again, review, remember, recall His promises. Promises like this. That He is with you. Let's move on. Character and faith are tested during troubled times. Your character, my character. Your faith has been tested. Now, if things are to get worse, it will be a tougher test. But we need to remember how God has been with us in the past. The miracles that he has done in your life. The times that you have been in trouble times, in crisis times. And God has helped you to overcome all those crises and troubles. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to see in this passage how a godly character, a man of faith, can overcome fear because he knows, because she knows who is God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 10. This is the passage where David killed a giant, Goliath. Now you know the story, right? That every time, every day, Goliath, the champion, will come out and yell at the people of Israel, hey, find a champion who fight with me. If I overcome him, you know, we will be your servants. If I overcome him, then we will be your servants. So let's save time. Let's do this a two-man battle. Now, I want you to look at the Saul and the people of Israel reaction to this threat. So, verse 32. 1 Samuel 17, verse 32. And David said, what I have done now? Is it not the cows? Okay, hold on 1 second. First, let's read verse 10. 17:10 of 1 Samuel, please. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together. Now, look at the reaction of Saul and the army. And Saul and all Israel heard these words. It was a threat, right, of the Philistine. They were dismayed and greatly afraid. Their character was tested. Our character is being tested right now. How do you react to the threat? Yes, we're humans, and we might be a little bit scared. I think that's a natural reaction for human beings. But that's when we need to go back to God and to his promises. And trust in God. Because when you trust in God, you are not despair. You are not stressed out. You're not anxious. Faith is the best medicine for anxiety. It's the best medicine. Because you know for sure that God is real. And he's going to protect you from any threat that comes to you. So think about that. Now, this was Saul, the king, and the army. They were scared. They were fearful. They start running away. Why? Because they didn't trust God. Now, let's go to see David's reaction now. Let's move to verse 32 now. Verse 32. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Do you see the difference? David was a man of faith. And And David was confident in God. Why? Because he had some previous experience in the past with the lion and with the bear. This was in his mind. So I want you to think all your previous experiences when God has been with you in the past. So let's never forget that. Start counting your blessings. And you'll see that your fear will start going away. We're going to get through this with the help of God. Let's move now to verse 37, same chapter, just to see David's reaction. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. Was he confident in God? 100%. He says, that's not a problem. I know who God is, and I know what God has done for me in the past. So this will be like a beast as well, this guy. Let's continue with our reflections. God is the only refuge and strength. He's the only one. People is looking at the science. People is looking at medicine to face this threat. Yes, science is going to help. Science, medicine, definitely is going to help. You know, but God is the God of science. He created science, right? But we need to go to God. We need to go to God every day. Let's go to Psalm 21. Psalm 121, I'm sorry, 121. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? He's asking. My help comes from the Lord. Amen. Yes, science help. Yes, government helps. By our help, come after all only from God. So think about this promise. Think about these words. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. I love this promise. I'm in peace and confidence. I know that God will take care of me and my family, and I know God will take care of you and your family. So don't be anxious. Trust God with all your heart. Let's move on. We already said this. God is real. Let's go to the book of Job. Verse 19. I'm sorry, chapter 19. Verses 25 to 27. Look what Job says. I love this text. Job 19, verse 25 and on. For I know, look what word he's using, I know for sure. You know, God is in my belief system. I know for sure. I understand, I know. God is not a concept for me. God is not a theory for me. God is real. I know. For I know that my Redeemer lives. Amen? Do you know your God? Do you know that He lives? Do you know that He is with you? Do you know your Redeemer? And He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know again, that in my flesh I shall see God. Amen. We shall see God. We can see God. Do you see God? I see God. Because He is real. He was real for Job. And He is real now. Times of crisis. He is real. And finally, lastly, crisis is an opportunity for witnessing. Like Brother Neil says before, especially for people that is more vulnerable, the elderly, people that are sick at home, please reach out to us. Call me. Call Women's Ministry people. Call Dr. Candice. Women are volunteering themselves to help the most vulnerable people in these times of crisis. So if you need grocery shopping, if you need transportation, if you need something that you are not able to do right now, please reach out to us. And as doing that, we're witnessing to others. One of my neighbors went around in our street collecting phone numbers and saying, would you be willing to volunteer your time if someone here in our street is an elderly woman or man and needs some, you know, some grocery shopping? Of course, we gave our numbers. So we can witness to this crisis by helping each other. And like I said, our women's ministry is also doing that, asking you if you need help. Let's go to the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 3, and verses 10 and 11. So the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? He answered, Jesus, of course, he answered, I said to them, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. Let's help each other. Let's show our love. I believe in practical gospel. And as you might know, in my two churches, I've been preaching about this in my previous sermons recently. We want to do ministry for others. And even in crisis times like this, we can still minister for others. We can still call each other. We can still be connected to each other. The church, I like this statement, this phrase. The church is closed, not the building. I mean, just the building. And so I'm going to say it again. The church is not closed. It's just a building. The church is not closed. Okay? Why? Because the church is not the building. The church, it's the members. It is you and I. We are the church. And even though there's some social distance, we can still be connected. Thanks God for technology. But still, it might be some people that is not technology knowledgeable, but we can still call them. We can still call each other so we can stay connected. So let me finish with this. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. I love this quote from Ellen G. White. Look what she said. In reviewing our past history. So she was doing an exercise in her mind. She was reviewing history, right? So that's something we should do now that we had more time. Review your life. And again, look at those events in your life where God has been with you, where God has shown his mighty, mighty arm, where God has shown his mighty power to you. I'm sure that everyone who is listening has a moment in his life, in his history, where you can go back and say, yes, I can see how God was with me at that moment in time. In reviewing our past history, having trouble over and every step of advance to our present standing, I can say, and you and I can say today, amen? Praise God. Praise God. Let's praise God today. Let's get rid of negativity. And I'm gonna challenge you to stop watching news for so long. There's so much negativity that affects your mind, my mind. Just reduce the time you watch. What can you do about it? And spend more time reading your Bible and praising God for all the blessings that he has given you. I can say praise God, amen? As I see, she was able to see. Are you able to see? Do you see God? I hope so. I see what the Lord has brought. I am filled with astonishment and confidence. Are you confident? Are you confident? Hope so. Confidence in Christ as leader. Amen? God is our leader. Christ our leader. Okay? Christ is our Savior. He's a leader. He's in control. He's not a pastor. He's not a conference. Not even Satan. It is God. We have nothing to fear. Amen? Please repeat this in your mind today. We have nothing. And what the word nothing mean? That's an absolute word. Nothing is nothing. 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 To fear for the future, you know? Anxiety is when you start fearing for the future. You worry about the future, right? Nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us. That's why it's so important to go to our history and see how God has led us through this, to different crises in our lives, and his teaching in our past history. I love this quote from Ellen G. White. Now please go with me, Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Do not worry, right? Verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Are you worried today? I'm not. Because I trust God. And I hope you do too. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat. Okay, there's shortage in all the stores. Do not worry. Remember Elijah, how he was fed by the ravens, right? I mean, food is not a problem for God. Food is not a problem for God. So do not worry what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Well, do not worry about your body. Do not worry about toilet paper. This is crazy. You see, when people panic, they do crazy things. We've seen that, right? We've seen people fighting over toilet paper. How crazy that is. Don't worry. There are ways, by the way, to go around that. What you will put on, is not life more than food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Amen? The birds, they don't make long lines outside the stores. But my Father and your Father feeds them. He cares for the birds, and he cares for you and I. Are you not more valuable than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet, I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass and the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you on your own life, or you of life of little faith? Little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Amen? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. But we're not Gentiles, we are believers. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Amen? I love this. He knows better than you and I. But seek first the kingdom of God, amen, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Brothers and sisters, this promise is real. Believe it. It was real at that time, and it is real today, because God is the same. God never changed. Amen? So believe it. Be in peace. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not worry about tomorrow, because God is with us. This is my desire for us. This is my prayer. So please, be in peace. Get a closer relationship with God and with your family. And he will take care of us. And we cannot talk about this without talking about prophecies. We know prophecy, and we know what's going on. And we know how things can develop very quickly. And this might be the end of times. It is that. It might be the beginning of the end. That's what I want to say. I think it is. So, special time for us to prepare our souls and our hearts, and again, having a close relationship with our God. Let's not fear. Let's not despair. Be confident in our Lord.